17. Here's Bob.
Here's Max.
We're off to F&M again. Oh, has life been chaotic?
Yeah, it's been really boring at work for me, so.
No, I'm not just work, everything. Holy cow. It's already February this year.
Well, and the weather is surprisingly very good.
For now.
For now, yes.
Don't jinx it, is all I can say.
I know for a fact we're probably going to get something horrible within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt about it. I have a feeling it's going to be, oh, look at this, March 1st, sub-zero weather again.
Did you end up looking at that guy, the Twitter follower? Did you end up looking at his EVH list?
No, I did not have a chance. I did see it.
I looked at it and tried looking at it, and I just couldn't find what was trying to go on. I didn't have much attention when I was trying to look at it, too.
I saw that. I just haven't had a lot of time to get back to him, and I feel sorry for that.
He's the same guy that commented not to read cards.
I mean, we got a follower, I guess.
I only have a Twitter follower. We don't know how many MTG Cats followers we have.
No, that's where you got to join the Facebook group and open that spreadsheet, because it won't open on my phone or my computer.
Yeah.
But anyways, Magic news. I was wrong. We did not get a Modern Masters 2017 spoiler at the Pro Tour.
Do we have any yet?
No, we have still none yet. I honestly thought we were going to get one.
Eh.
I really wanted them to get one at the Pro Tour, but they decided not to.
Well, I know LG has their boxes right now at $204 pre-order. I mean, obviously, like, it's probably going to be just the same as Eternal. After a couple cards being released, both me and you are going to pre-order our boxes.
No,
and then
I will not pre-order from LG. I won't do Modern Masters anymore.
Oh.
I'll buy singles from it.
Either way. They're doing their other thing where they do six and then raise the price, six and raise the price.
Yeah. That's standard Jason shenanigans.
I mean, selling them for $204, not too horrible.
Yeah, until we know what's actually in the set, it's not worth it.
Yeah. But no, at the same time, bring up the store.
bring up Toxic Environments.
Yeah.
So, still having toxic issues with the store.
Oh, yeah.
And Max had the encounter today, so he can explain it.
Well, I mean, one encounter was today, the other one was on Monday.
It was through this week.
So
it is your call to tell the story, then.
Oh, yeah.
The microphone is yours.
It is my phone. But, on Monday I had stopped in and was just to play standard, like, it's fun, I just want to play Magic. And ended up picking up a couple cards, and I think it was a Panamonicon and I picked up a Panamonicon and some other card. From another card I picked up. But he just got done talking with me on how they've got all the cards, all standard cards from in the case marked up, so then they won't get bought up on TCG Player. And so when I was like, oh yeah, I want this card and this card, could I get 50 cents off each one of those? Because of course I knew for a fact they were marked up. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I want this card as well. Well, prior to that, I didn't know the value of the third card. And I watched Mark look up the value of the card and ended up, was like, oh yeah, I can give you $1 off the full purchase, because 50 cents for 50 cents. Anyone can do math, I play Magic. Give you $1 off the full purchase, and because I'll pull the $1 off of this card. Well, the third card that I didn't know the price of prior to buying it, was only valued at like $4, and I paid $7 for it. Yeah. Do not buy cards from Leech New Games. Especially when today I stopped in and was looking at the two fatal pushes that they had, and they're selling them at $7 a piece when really average value is about $4 a piece.
standard, he's the only shop in town, so he can get away with it.
Well, it's funny how they say, yeah, we're going to keep the cards in the case for standard players, but then not mark it down for when a standard player shows up in the shop.
It's because they're not there for standard players. They're there to put money in Jason's pocket.
Yeah. But on a standard note, Pro Tour went off. 6 Mardu vehicles.
In the top 8.
In the top 8.
28 of 32 potential Heart of Kirin's in the top 8.
Yeah.
It either would have been Heart of Kirin or Smuggler's Copter.
Well, actually, probably. If Smuggler's Copter wasn't banned, it would probably be both.
I don't think it would have been both. I don't know if the decks would actually have been able to support both.
Easily. Because then they just don't run the 4-mana one.
Oh, no, but the 4-mana one can actually block Heart of Kirin successfully. In that deck, because of the Gideon Emblem.
Oh.
It's a 3-5 that becomes a 4-6.
Well, yeah, but I don't even know how many of them are actually playing the Aether, what's that, Aether Harvester?
Yeah.
I think that's the name of the thing. I didn't think even many decks were even playing that.
There was one in the top 2.
Yeah.
There was either one or two of them, because it was in the guy's sideboard. He's like, yeah, again, in the mirror, this is the best card.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It was a 3-5 that blocks card here.
Yep. You got a taste for dinner tonight?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Almost kind of want to get Wendy's, but at the same time, I heard about the Wendy's social media.
Wendy's social media? I did not hear. Enlighten me.
Oh, this is a cool little thing. I know a lot of people that are listening to this right now are going, oh yeah, the Wendy's social media. But they started roasting people on Twitter, the Wendy's social media group. So, like, people would just message like, oh, what's the best thing to get at McDonald's? And then Wendy's would, reply, directions to the nearest Wendy's.
That's kind of cool, not gonna
lie. So they have a lot of these, like, should have done the Wendy's, and like another one was like a person's like, oh, I have at Burger King and at Wendy's, I have at Burger King wanting to follow me right now. What do I do? And they're like, block and don't look back.
That's kind of funny though.
Yeah, I mean, like, now that's good advertising, because actually I kind of want Wendy's today.
I mean, it could just be them trying to do viral marketing.
It's still funny. It's very in general. I now follow Wendy at Wendy's because of that reason. So, do we have any other news we want to bring up prior to bringing up our main topic we want to talk about? Well, I want to talk about. You're just going to kind of join along because you're here.
I don't think there's any other real Magic news. I guess we could kind of give a shout-out to Patrick Ugolo, because I've enjoyed his stream the past couple of weeks on Wednesday nights. He streams the Community Legacy Leagues, but... No, I have thoroughly enjoyed Pat's stream every Wednesday night.
I kind of feel bad that I don't have a computer with MTG go online on it. Because they had mentioned... Because I listened to them, they only have a stream for their Legacy Community... Legacy League Community Podcast.
Yeah.
So they do a stream each week on what went on in the past week.
I mean, they
Well, they're not a stream, a recording and podcast.
Yeah, I mean, each Wednesday night on Twitch. I mean, your computer can run an internet
browser. Well, you know where I am Wednesday night.
Oh, that's right, you're bar hopping.
But, they had mentioned on, like, the first one that they don't have a painter player yet. I'm like, oh, I want to play so bad! And then I hear about this painter player, I'm like, oh, God, no, they already got one! That would have been so great to have a painter player, because I'm hearing lands is being played, bugs and decks are being played.
Everything getting played on it.
But
as I say, I have thoroughly enjoyed Pat's stream, because I don't think there's been a night where he's played other than, like, Miracles twice has been it.
Well, I mean, they just finally got their Miracles player, they just said in the last cast. I don't know, in the last cast they just said they just finally got a Miracles.
Yeah, well, the problem is you can switch decks, too.
Yeah.
So, like, Pat played against, at Balduvian Bears, John Celso.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually on Miracles. It was kind of funny, because Pat got done... And was it just talking with everybody, waiting for the next round, and Celso was in chat, in the Twitch chat, too, and the next round pairings went up, and Pat's like, oh, Celso, let's get it on! Celso exits out, and goes, turn one, island, top, and Pat's like, you son of a... It was hilarious.
Yeah. No, I feel kind of bad that I can't get on that, because I mean, just don't have the money to put into it. But I did think about, like, if I did have the money, I'd build Tez, because they don't have a Tez yet.
No, but there are. There's Eldrazi.
Well, there's Eldrazi, but there isn't a Tez yet. Tez plays completely different than Eldrazi, except for the lock pieces. Oh, I'm gonna find it.
Mitch is getting his own promotion now.
Yeah, that's why how he ended up getting the position. But yeah, no, the... I thought I was going to get out of the car. But, yeah, no, Tez just kind of plays the same lock pieces. It just plays out differently.
Somebody posted on Reddit. I didn't get to read the whole thing. But for some reason, Chalice of the Voids are spiking.
Yeah, I noticed that on Facebook.
And, I mean, I think it has to do with the modern Cheerios. Because if you put it on... 0 and then 1, they can't win.
Yeah, I mean, Chalice of the Void is a good answer to a lot of decks. It's just something that's not really played much because you can't efficiently get it out in time.
And in modern, yes, you can.
Well, in particular sense, like, you can't always.
Well, you can't always, but when you get it out, it usually wins.
I mean, if you're going to play it, you're going to be able to play it, but generally. They don't usually play it because it's our turn 2 Chalice on 1.
No, it's not. It's a turn 1. That's why Simeon Spirit Guide jumped $12 for a while.
Yeah, but again, not all decks have a Simeon Spirit Guide.
No, but if you're running Chalice, you run 4 Simeon Spirit Guides to get the turn 1 Chalice.
Regardless.
Anyways, the topic of the trip down to Extreme...
was even our last podcast, because we skipped last week because there was literally no news. We had nothing.
Zilch.
But our last podcast, we had mentioned about Stoneforge Mystic. Oh. Now we just want to talk about the Deathblade list.
Well, the Blade lists, I guess.
In general sense.
Because, I mean, you could kind of lump Death and Taxes in.
Yeah, in a weird way.
Stoneforge is a pretty big part of that deck. It gets some of their finishers.
That's a good point.
Deathblade, although not a tier 1 deck anymore, I still think it's the jack of all trade, the master of none.
Yeah.
Stoneforge used to be, like, the win con in Stoneblade,
mm-hmm.
which was more of a control mid-range, and then became obsolete with, Miracles taking over the control route.
Mm-hmm.
So...
we're not doing anything illegal. Nothing illegal.
Anyways, so your basic Stoneforge package for Death and Taxes, Deathblade, Bant is the 4 Stoneforges plus Batterskull and Jit. A third piece of equipment has started to make its way in.
And that will be the Sword of Fire Knights.
Because the simple fact you have most of the decks don't have any other ways of dealing with True Name.
Yep.
So this just gets you around it.
What's the average colors of most Stoneblade decks? Or
blue,
Stoneforge decks?
Well, so Stoneforge based decks are usually blue, white, X.
Yeah. I actually finally bring up the list that you told you to
send. Well, I have. The Deathblade list right here.
Alright, we have Bob's Deathblade list.
Let's go over the creatures first, because they're top on the list.
Well, I mean, the way I did it last time, that we did a tech of something, I just named the creature off, why it's good, what it does, how we are happy to be in the deck.
Yeah. We'll start from the top and go down.
So, top of the deck, we start off with Deathrite Shaman. A lot of people know what this card does. We're not going to cover it as heavy.
Thoroughly.
Yeah.
Deathrite Shaman, it's a 3-mana Bladeswalker.
Yep. Graveyard Hate.
Mana
acceleration.
Life gain.
Life gain damage. Could ultimately be a win con by himself. Could. Yeah. Not particularly want something you want to rely on. Next creature we have in the list is a 1-of Snapcaster Mage.
A lot of the blue-white lists, you used to run it as a 4-of because it was so good. But then Deathrite was printed, which just about nullified Snapcaster.
Yep.
But I still like the one-up Snapcaster for the, ha, gotcha.
I mean, obviously, being able to recast any of these spells that I see now in the further way down is definitely considerably strong. Then the next creature we have on the list is Stoneforge Mystic. It's a 1-2 dude, blocks very well.
Well, it's a 1-2, gets thrown under the bus, and it cheats out your equipment.
I was going to make the joke that he was nothing else but except for a 1-2 for 2 mana.
He gets you equipment.
I mean, because we've already talked about him, that's all. Next creature, we have the massive True Name Nemesis as a 2-of.
And this is a point of contention with them. A lot of people have cut the next creature. The next creature being Vidillion Click, but yep. A lot of the recent blade lists, both Bant Blade, have just gone to a straight 4-of True Name Nemesis. But with Bant Blade, they also run 8 Mana Dorks.
Well, yeah, so they're able to play them out a lot quicker. Then, don't really know how many... I mean, like, True Name Nemesis has become the new hype.
Well, it's not the new hype. People just realize that in a fair meta, it is the best creature.
Then, obviously, we have Vendilion Click.
Which, a lot of... Once again, a lot... It's a holdover
from... You play from the Crocuson? Yep, you play one of Crocuson main.
So, you can get the Click Lock. But a lot of people have just cut the Click because it's like, I'd rather play a third or fourth True Name and just get them dead.
Explain a couple little bits to the people where Vidillion Click is good and what matchups.
Vidillion Click is amazing in just about every matchup.
Where is he played the best? In
on opponent's turn. Because I have had a Sneak and Show opponent. On turn two, I had Fetch, Underground Sea, and Death Right Up.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, turn two, Show and Tell. In response, I fetched, got a Tundra, flashed in Click, and took his Emrakul that he was his only card he could put in and put it at the bottom. He drew a land.
Wow!
I cheated in a Batterskull.
That's funny.
And proceeded to
sell. So wait, this was they did it on a show and they were doing a show and tell.
They did
and
a
you
show and tell.
Them.
In response to the show and tell, I clicked taking their only thing to cheat out.
That is lovely.
And then got 7 power to start swinging back.
Is there any point where Vidillion Click is not good against a deck? What deck would Vidillion Click not be good against?
It's good against Miracles. I mean, it's not good against Shardless. Because it's a one butt, it dies to Baleful Strix.
I mean, a lot of things die to Baleful Strix, even the big ass Goyf.
Yeah. But. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to know when it's bad because just about every time I've played it, it's just been so good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the creatures above are kind of more obvious plays. I mean.
See, the build that I have up of Deathblade is a more controlling build.
Oh, yeah, we're about to get into spells, and people will realize that really quick. So anything on the creatures? Do you want to highlight more on Snapcaster? Because
yeah, I mean, we can come back to the Snapcaster after we name the sorceries and instants.
All right, we'll just remember it.
Because I'm going to mention Snap when we get in to start doing stuff.
Yeah. All right, start off the spell list. We'll start off with a 4 of Brainstorm. This is obvious. It's a blue deck.
Yeah, if you're playing blue in Legacy...
And not playing Chalice of the Void...
Yeah, you should pretty much play a 4 of Brainstorm.
Yeah, it's blue.
It is one of the most played cards. It is one of the toughest to play correct. Every time I get done resolving it, I always double guess myself.
Yeah. Again, people have made podcasts on Brainstorm alone. Then we have a 1 of Ponder, which is in my list, my Bant Deathblade list. I play a 1 of Ponder as well.
The 1 of Ponder is only there because we can't play a 5th Brainstorm.
Oh, that's fair. That is fair.
I hate Ponder. I think it is one of the worst cantrips, but it lets you see up to 4 cards.
Mm-hmm.
If it was an instant, oh god, Ponder would be broken.
And then after that, we have Spell Pierce.
Well, the counterspell package of the decks can change.
Yeah, counterspell package, you have Spell Pierce and Force. Obviously, some people may run Daze and Force.
Well, with Deathblade, you really can't run Daze because you are trying to hit your land drops.
This is fair.
You don't have the mana dorks like Bant does that you've played
to be able to still get, go turn one, noble, turn two, force true name, pick up land for days.
So now with the spell pierce idea in it, it's conditional spell?
Conditional.
Yeah, conditional counterspell.
It's non-creatures for a two tax.
What's the idea of running the one that just counters, straight up counters a two CMC spell?
Spell Snare?
Yeah.
Spell Snare is a little bit better if you're playing in a chalice meta, because they will hit a chalice on one.
Okay.
That's why a lot of Miracles lists have gone to running a one or a two of Spell Snare.
Or Spell Pierce.
The reason that I like Pierce is it hits chalice if I don't have the Spell Snare, and I don't think people are going to pitch two Simian Spirit Guides.
Well, ultimately, why when I look at the fact of like running Spell Snare over Spell Pierce, or no, Spell Pierce over Spell Snare, is Spell Snare will only get those two mana slot. And, I mean, yes, it's a hard counter, but it is only two mana spells, and Spell Pierce can hit all those spells. Obviously, I mean, sometimes you may get boned because they actually happen to have the mana for it, but at the same time...
No, Spell Pierce does lose its power the longer the game goes.
Yeah, but so does Daze, so...
And, well, that's where a lot of people have cut down to, like, a one or a two of Ensnare and just put a regular counter spell.
Mm-hmm.
Two blue counter target spell.
Yeah. Next up, we have a white deck, so we have Swords to Plowshares. Four of.
Best removal ever printed in the game.
Yeah, you really can't get better removal than that. I mean, sometimes you might get boned because you have the Swords of Merit Lage, but so what?
The reason to play Swords to Plowshares is it's the eventuality of the win.
Yeah. I mean, whoopee, you give your opponent a little bit of life this turn. Well, guess what? You have probably a better skull in the field. You're probably going to hit him for a lot more than what you just gave him.
It's the whole point of being able to go Swords to Plowshares the end of your turn. With four mana up, I can remove three of your creatures if it's right.
Yeah.
I can go Swords, Snapcaster Mage, giving that Swords flashback, Swords another creature, and block a third.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best one mana removal.
Then we have Thoughtseize as a three of.
The Thoughtseizes in this deck are scalpels.
Yep.
It's at the right time, the right place is when you fire it off. Although a lot of people say turn one Thoughtseize is one of the best plays you can do, it's kind of hard for me to justify it.
I mean,
if I don't know what my opponent's on.
That is fair, but it gives you that info then.
Yeah, no, it like turn one, game one, if I'm on the play, my opponent hasn't put anything out, I'll Thoughtseize to find out, know exactly what he's on.
So, okay, so with Thoughtseize, you obviously discard the card afterwards. A couple other cards of idea that I'm coming up with. So if you're going for intel, why not play Gitaxian Probe?
The reason you don't want to play Probe in this deck is, although it's free, that two life can kind of come back to bite you.
Oh, yeah, I know. That it does. And, the deck's super important. It does want to go for that mid-range where the two life does kind of matter.
Well, the two life, but you also can get a select card out of their hand for one card. I'll take that trade of being able to pick your Jid out or pick your True Name or your Force of Will to be able to get my stuff through.
Mm-hmm. And now the idea is beyond, like, Force of Will as a high card, why run Thoughtseize over Inquisition? Is it because it is every card?
Pretty much. I mean, a lot of decks have also been like two Thoughtseize and a Inquisition. It really depends on what the meta is shaping up to be. Like, if I was taking this to a serious tournament, I would probably go two Thoughtseize and one Inquisition in the current meta. It's more creature and fair based. So, because with Inquisition, you can still hit True Name. You can hit Leovold.
I mean, you can hit a lot of priceful cards off of an Inquisition. Though, I mean, again, really the only cards I can think of that you won't hit with Inquisition over Thoughtseize is Force of Will, a Batter Skull, if you really want to make them discard that.
Jace, the Mind Sculptor.
Jace is a big one. That is a big one. That's a good point. I mean, but you also... I mean, you hit most of the cards in Legacy with an Inquisition and a Thoughtseize.
You can hit a Tassiger if they're playing it, Gurmag Angler.
So you're getting a lot of the bigger creatures.
A lot of the bigger threats.
Yeah. And obviously, you don't want to Thoughtseize make someone discard a Gristlebrand. You just don't want to do that.
Well, unless they're on blue-red.
That's a fair point. I mean, obviously, in certain situations, you may end up making a person discard a big creature, but a reanimatable creature versus a reanimate spell, but at the same time,
I mean,
you don't know
what you're
going to.
Personally thought seized a Gristlebrand when my opponent had a reanimate in his hand.
Oh, because then you do take the life off of them.
He did take the life, and I had Crocus in hand that he didn't know about.
Oh, that's just lovely. Okay, so yes, in certain situations, you will want to thought seize him.
Yeah, so you got to look at your hand and look what you're picking. Like, I literally baited him to put that Gristlebrand back into play and just play Crocus the next turn, bounced it to his hand.
Mm. Now, your list for our artifact package or equipment package is Jit and Bereskull and not Fire and Ice.
I have my own true names and a click to get past opposing true names.
Okay.
That's why my deck doesn't need the Pearl Blue. I mean, in the sideboard, right now, I technically have a third being sort of Feast and Famine. I've switched it back and forth to see how each one plays.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the list that I took to Columbus.
Yeah. And you made it, was it one round less than day two?
I was 5-4 at the end, but both of my final rounds was for the day two.
No, you didn't make it to day two, but
yeah, I was
still,
close.
You were very close.
I was close.
Next up, after, obviously, we brushed over Jit because it's the next thing, but next one up is a one of Counselor's Judgment. Explain why you played as a one of and not just put it in your sideboard.
I like Council's Judgment main. I liked, because they used to run, the old Esper Stoneblade used to run Vindicate,
mm-hmm.
which was just white, black, colorless, destroy target permanent.
About the same cost, but...
Same idea, but you could go, like, turn one, Deathrite with a fetch, turn two, blow up your singleton land,
mm-hmm.
and set you behind.
So that's what you can do with Vindicate.
But... with Vindicate, you can't hit True Name.
Yeah.
When True Name came out, a lot of decks started cutting it just for their own True Name to try and either beat or race. I still like the Council's Judgment, because if they only have one or two True Names, I can Council's Judgment, snap Council's Judgment if I have to get the second one out. I can still hit Batterskulls, I can still hit Jit, and I can still hit Planeswalkers. I'm not too worried about hitting opponents' lands. As
yeah.
One, because.
Well, again, over the end of it, with Vindicate, you're able to hit lands, and that's the bonus you get for not being able to hit someone's True Name. True Name is it with the Bereskull in front of it. You're not going to be able to get past it.
Yeah.
You want to be able to kill that True Name and get it off the field. So that's where Council's Judgment comes in, since you can target that.
Well, you don't target it; you just get to pick it.
You get to pick. The True Name, which obviously in this meta we're switching into, there's probably going to be a lot of True Names coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Liliana the Veil as a two of.
I run the Planeswalker package.
Yeah, you do have a two Lily, two Jace.
And a lot of Deathblade lists have actually cut down the Lilies from the main to the board, but I just love Lily. She's so good.
I mean, obviously...
She gives it such a good control aspect.
Yeah. And, I mean, the only instance that Lily is bad...
is a Swarm.
Is when there's a Swarm, and probably versus Reanimator decks.
I mean, yes and no, because, like, plus one, okay, they discard their Gristlebrand. They reanimate it, minus two.
That's a fair point. Yeah, ultimately. And then as well, if you've been listening to our casts, we do a lot of Lily piles.
Well, the whole Lily pile is simple because every board state with Lily is different.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cool thing that we like to do is Lily piles for the inquisitive thought of what do we do in this situation. Then, obviously, we have a blue deck with Planeswalkers in it. We have Jace. 4 mana. Done. It's Jace.
Guy pulled a U.
Oh. Well, just don't try and stop up here, because he might rerun us. Evil. So, two of Jace. Jace is obvious.
It's draw cards, win game.
Yeah. Blue deck with Jace. And then finishing off, we have Force of Will.
As a 4 of.
Yep.
The worst card in the deck. But a necessary evil.
Yeah, especially versus a lot of turn one decks.
Well, it hits the turn one chalice potential, the turn one combo potential. As I say, Force of Will is absolutely a bad card when you 2-for-1 yourself.
Yeah.
But it's a necessary evil in Legacy for any kind of fair deck to stand a chance.
Now, your fetch base for lands is 8 fetches, all for fetch from blue. You play 2 islands, 2 plains. You have a 1 of Crocus, which is pretty good on both the factor of 1, you play a click. And number 2, you can get your opponent's creatures off the field.
The land base in Esper Deathblade is always a point of contention.
Mm-hmm.
When the deck first showed up, it didn't run any basics.
Well,
it was 4 Tundras, 4 Underground Seas, 2 Scrublands, a Bayou, and a Tropical Island.
Well, I know as a player that plays Painter for his main deck, you're going to want basics in your deck. And especially when going to big events. Because
over time, they have pretty much said, well, because of Blood Moon, we got to run some kind of basics.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I mean, obviously Big Red plays Blood Moon as well, and some sideboards for, what's the name of it?
Miracle Burn is.
Burn, yeah. They play hate against your dual lands. Well, as a positive here. Alright, other than that, I mean, basically all I saw in the Elson land base was you do play a 2 of Wasteland instead of a basic 4 package.
Yeah, the Wastelands and Deathblade are, once again, like a surgical knife.
Yeah.
They're not a machete like most decks that run Wasteland of you don't just play it and fire it off.
Mm-hmm.
You fire it off to hit their important. Like, if you see an opponent on Tundra, Underground Sea with 1 Deathrite Shaman, you hit the Underground Sea. Because that takes them off of the Deathrite Shaman activation and a mana.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, limiting or being limited to a 2 of Wasteland makes you learn to use them real efficiently.
Yeah. And then again, as a deck that has 3 mana to it and not many dorks like Bant Deathblade has.
Oh. Yeah.
You do need the colors for it.
Well, some Deathblade lists, if you cut the Lilianas, have actually gone to 4 Wastelands, because you don't need double black for anything.
Oh, that's a good point.
The only reason that I run a 3 of Underground Sea, and I actually for a while ran 3 Underground Sea, 1 Swamp, is just to be able to afford the Lilies.
Mm-hmm. What? We can go over there.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, no, and then, of course, that's the Esper Deathblade list that Bob runs. Not particularly everyone runs it, because obviously there's a couple cards that are tuned.
Well, questionable.
Questionable and tuned to the playstyle.
Yeah.
But
the thing is about Deathblade, it can change week to week on the meta of what you actually want in the main and what you want in the board. Like, if I knew I was going to be in a heavy blade list or death and taxes list, absolutely my third equipment in the board would be a Manrique Gusari.
Okay, what does Manrique Gusari do?
It's a 2-drop artifact that gives a quick creature +1/+2 and the ability of quick creature has tap, destroy target equipment.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes.
If the meta is going to be a fair Stoneblade match,
yes,
meta,
that is absolutely something you want to have in your 75. Because
if you don't play Ghazali Primage.
No, because you can have one dude blow up like 3 equipment over time.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's why I ran Manrique Gusari when I first had Deathblade together, and it was a more Stoneforge-y package or meta because it always gave me the advantage. It was the first equipment I would search up.
So, no, when we get back after food, we'll talk about... I mean, you don't have to bring up the list. I thought you were bringing up the list or something. No, you're bringing. You don't need to. Unless you want to remember them.
Well, I kind of do need to remember.
Oh, you're bringing up the Bant list.
Yeah. This is what I had. I was looking at.
I know mine, I go... Okay, so, brought up, we're back. Beyond that. We brought up the Bant Death playlist, if you didn't catch that. And Bob had copied the list offline, I believe?
Pretty much. I think it was the top 16 from GP
Louisville?
Yeah, GP Louisville.
Alright. I know with my list, this one does a 4 death, 3 noble. I know with mine, it's reversed.
It's interchangeable.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfectly interchangeable, except for the fact, like, I mean, looking at this build... nope, they don't really run. They run about the same land base, so it's not like they had more black support or whatever. The reason why I only run the 3 death rate is because of the fact I don't have much black support, and there's really no need for it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had, since we are in a Bant list, you are allowed, and we have green added to our colors. We have Leovold Emissary Atress,
which is now becoming a legacy all star.
Yep. And as we've trained every single person in that I talked to about Leovold, it does 2 things. Stop. 2 things for Legacy. Stops your opponents from drawing, and lets you draw.
Which is two of the best effects in Legacy.
And then, of course, this list is a 4 of True Name. Not too bad. It's, I mean, mine only runs, I think, a 3 of, just because of the build, I think. I also think I run 19 lands, so maybe they cut a land drop for True Name. Noticing differences, this list also adds Stifle to the deck. Why don't you run Stifle in Deathblade?
Stifle is only a 1-for-1 speed bump, I guess you could say. It's not true removal.
Yeah. And that's where, like, recently, after hearing about crop rotation, I thought about trying crops over Stifles.
Why though?
Anti-wasteland.
So is Stifle. Stifle can also stop planeswalkers. Yeah. Crop rotation can't.
But also too as well, Stifle crop rotation will find you wastelands versus will also find the wastelands when they're needed. So I don't know. I thought about doing it, but then you are 2-for-1 of yourself.
Yeah, that's a bad deal, in my opinion.
I don't know, I thought about just trying it out, seeing how it went.
You can try it. I don't think it'll be any better. I would rather have a 2 or a 3 of Stifle.
This list plays Daze. Obviously, we explained prior that since this deck has Mana Dorks, it can lose out on the land for a turn.
Well, since it has 7 to 8 Mana Dorks, setting yourself back a land isn't as much as with Esper.
Yeah. Obviously, it goes the same thing as Spell Pierce. The later the game goes, the worse off the card becomes.
See, but with the Bant Deathblade, Stifle is really good because you stifle their fetches, making your days much more efficient.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of Rug Delver.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, I thought about doing crop rotations, but at the same time, after reminding myself now that I can stifle fetch triggers again, I do remember reminding myself how good that is to do.
A 1-mana Stone Rain is amazing.
Another thing I thought about trying for tuning is putting at least maybe 1 or 2 Surgicals in the main.
No, you don't run those main. You don't have room for them.
I thought about doing it.
No, you don't have room.
But, I mean, either way. This list also chooses to have a Sylvan Library in the main.
Yeah, it did have a Sylvan in the main, which was kind of surprising, but I do like it.
I mean, it is draw power. That's about kind of what it is. I mean, and if you have Batterskull, you have life gain for your draws. So,
I mean, I don't consider Sylvan Library as extra draw power. I consider it as better filtering.
That's fair. But, I mean, ultimately, after the first Sylvan Library trigger, if you don't have any fetches, you ultimately just look at the bottom. You still go back down to only one card on top of your library.
Yeah, but that's why you have so many fetches in there.
The list, obviously, since it is a new of list, it does have Sword of Fire and Ice. oh, it is.
But in this list, that also makes your nobles super strong and your death rites even better if there's a rest in peace.
There is a lot of dorks that you can turn into really strong dudes quick.
Sword of Fire and Ice is just in decks to get around other trunings.
And for the Planeswalker base, we have one Gideon, ally Zendikar, and two Jace. Same as my list. I almost thought about trying the flip of it.
One Jace, two Gideons?
Yeah. I almost wanted to start tuning out the flip, see if that works well.
Tuning the flip of them. Oh.
See if they're better off. Yeah. See if it works flipped and if it doesn't work flipped. Because, I mean, maybe Gideon's in this list right now as a one of because they're testing it and seeing how well it runs.
Mainly there to, if you're playing against black green decks that have minus effects, or there's Zealous Persecutions, the emblem is the big thing of saving your true names and your mana dorks.
Yeah. So, and that's where it's like weird because Jace is kind of more on the control side where.
Jace is a win condition by himself.
Yeah.
What, and he gets you cards.
Yeah, I mean, he's controlling the game for you. That's kind of what it is. While Gideon's keeping you alive.
To me, Gideon screams win more.
That is fair. I don't know. The times that when we've been playing and I've gotten into Gideon out, he's been there strongly.
The Gideon is absolutely a house.
Yeah. So, when he shows up, he's showing up pretty strong. Obviously, the one at Vatter's Call. And then a very greedy mana base. Which is 3-chop, 2 Tundra, 1C, 4-waste. Which, again, going back to the fact, having the 4-waste with the dorks is perfectly acceptable.
Well, 7 mana dorks and 4 wastelands to feed the death rite, 3 or 4 death rites, you're fine.
And we have a silver bullet sideboard. Wow.
Yeah.
I find this funny. It is exactly a 15-card sideboard with only two of being Abrupt Decay.
Just because of miracles.
Yeah. Well, it also has Crows and Grip, which, I mean, in my list, I run...
But Crows and Grip can still be countered by Counterbalance.
This is true. I mean, if black wasn't so much of a splash, I can see running it over Crows and Grip in my list, at least. I don't know. Beyond that, also, too, I made my own sidebar. I didn't look online for it.
Yeah, no, I just took this list, loaded it up, and kind of...
Yeah, it doesn't look like too many things.
Drawing fake hands.
Other notable cards... I know in my list, I run main deck Quasali
playing mage.
Which, I think Quasali should have, any kind of deck that is like a white-green, Quasali should absolutely be in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's uncounterable artifact enchantment destruction.
It's not really uncounterable.
It just more or less shows up it could show up the turn before counterbalance. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a sideboard card in the main board. Not many people like it because it is, like, meta card. Where, again, if you verse a complete meta of Delvers, because all the Pyre Mage is not that good.
I think it's perfectly fine.
Well, I mean, the strength of the card is there.
I mean, turn 1, Noble Hierarch, turn 2, Quasali, swing for 2 with...
I was more looking at the factor of using it as the toolbox enchantment destruction or enchantment artifact destruction.
I know where you're going with that. Yes, it's really good if you're going to be facing a lot of artifacts in the main. But what I'm saying is even if you're facing just a Delver deck, to be able to go turn 1 Noble, turn 2 Quasali swing for two with a high arc.
Yeah.
And then turn three, swing for four, if not more, with a Quasali. And be able to drop, like, a true name nemesis.
Well, that, I mean, turn two Quasali, if you're not going to swing with a noble, you have that one up for Stifle.
Yeah.
Which, if you're, which is kind of weird, because then your opponent would know that you may need the blue, where at the same time, you can play it off as if you forgot to attack. So, that's kind of weird, but... obviously, Surgical Extraction is a good sideboard card.
Surgical is actually really expensive now, too, price-wise. Yep.
Well, again, with...
Red Reanimator.
Yeah, becoming a big thing. People want the Surgical Extractions. That and Dredge in is still around.
I do not like Surgical against Dredge.
Well, I mean, it's graveyard hate that can hurt a lot of decks. That... And it can also beat a lot of combo decks if you're able to stop one piece of the combo at least once.
I don't like it against something like Omnishow or even Storm.
Well, again, when you're fighting on the stack and you're able to get that one, you may not be able to fight on the stack again.
I know. I just...
That's where I like Surgical, is the fact that you can fight it probably once, but fighting it twice... It's going to be tricky, so getting rid of it is definitely a lot better. Then I know how strong it is to remove a combo piece from someone. A.K.A. when I was in GP Columbus and I forgot someone was on Grixis Delver instead of just Blue-Red Delver. Had a painter got counterspelled.
Okay.
That proceeded to be Surgical Extraction. And I didn't sign in Helm Rip.
Well, that's your own stupidity, then.
I didn't know they had the black!
I mean, you don't have to have black to have Surgical.
This is fair, but...
It could just be straight blue-red, because Phyrexian mana. Busted.
This is true. Yep, it is true.
Trust me. At Columbus, I decided to pay for life and dismember a lackey instead of letting it hit me once.
Yeah. That is most definitely valued, actually.
Because he had double ringleader in hand, too, at that point.
Yeah. That's where going into more Phyrexian mana. That's also kind of why Gitaxian Probe got banned in Modern. It is free.
Well, it just... And it replaces itself. That was the whole problem with it.
Well, again, playing a 56-card deck.
You weren't playing a 56-card. You were playing 60. Not every deck ran a 4 of Probe. Just Infect pretty much ran it as a 4 of.
Still, they ultimately are just a...
Because it enabled to turn 2-plus kills. Oh, it's all clear? All right. Guess I can just cycle through these probes and be able to feed my growth.
So, yes. That was Deathblade. Any other notable cards you want to mention?
I mean, it really comes down to the land base that either A, you can afford, or B, the meta will let you play.
So, I mean, obviously, if you go on a greedy mana base...
You're going to get punished by Back to Basics or Blood Moon.
Any non-basic hands. Also,
lands.
Price in Progress.
I mean, price in Esper, not so much. Because at Columbus, my first round opponent tried to get me with the Price of Progress, and I just wastelanded my own Tundra to survive.
Yeah, which is a common answer to price, is wastelanding your own non-basics.
Yeah. So... Price of Progress, if you fetch right, you'll be fine against Price of Progress. Like, against Burn, if I know that I'm against Burn game 2, game 3, absolutely I fetch my basics first. And that's where it comes down to learning.
Yeah, and that's where it's going weird right now. With all these bug lists showing up, I really do think the decks that have Blood Moons will be showing a lot stronger as of right now, due to the meta being a strengthened land base due to bug.
I wish I could find it, but somebody actually went through and made a, I think it was like a 2-year chart for like the top 30 decks of their success rates.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Miracles never dropped below like 50%.
Oh yeah. Miracles obviously in certain amounts is strong in a lot of matchups and not So I don't think it many has many that it loses against. Or it's at a less than 50% win rate.
Because I sent the list to Pat and Jerry of Leaving a Legacy for them to have a discussion point.
Mm-hmm. But either way, we're at the shop. It's going to be see y'all.
Yeah, I'll see you on the cast home.
I wish you get to hear about Bob and I both playing Nekusar.
I just built it. We'll see how it does.
That's if anyone wants to...
Oh, come on. 2HG.
Iron Maiden themselves.
I want to see it. I want to go 2HG. Let's do this. Against Stinky Guy.
Whatever. See y'all. Alright, so are we done with the heads up for the thing? Heads up for earlier, later, right now? And actually record the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. you can actually put this on the cast.
Oh, yeah, now... Alright. Hey, we're back.
We're back. Wow. Didn't actually play too much Magic tonight, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I played a game of EDH and...
Realized that relying on wheel effects with static abilities isn't always the best with Nekusar.
No, but it is fun. I mean, I did... do 4 wheel effects in one turn.
Oh, yeah. And well, that happens. That's Nekusar.
I put Steven down to 2, or down to 4, and attacked him with my Paragon Drake, well, and then made him draw 2 with Nekusar to kill him.
Yeah, and that's where it's fun with Nekusar, is like, all these cards that people are drawing, they're like, oh, yeah, we're drawing cards. But that just becomes ammo for the fire.
Yep. And so I said, if I had one more mana, I could have won.
But yeah, that's kind of the unfortunate thing when people are, like, you're controlling the full field. They're like, you need to do this, because stop him. Because, yeah. Like, most people down there are not.
I will not be playing with Steven again.
Well, I mean, if you had me there, too.
Well, no. I can talk people out of your stupidity real easy. Steven's the one that I don't try and talk over because I don't want to lose my voice.
Yeah.
So it's like... But anyways, we did a ban... Blade versus Esper Deathblade match. Best of 5.
And it was
back and
very
forth.
Back and forth. Like, yeah. I do feel that Bant Deathblade does have the one-up, but the skill differences do make a difference in there.
I think that absolutely right now, I think you Bant Blade is the better deck with the underskilled pilot, but the Deathblade with the superior pilot.
Yeah. I mean, it most definitely, like, it was very weird sometimes, and also, too, some hands I kept. That, and you got lucky that last game.
Yeah, well, that last game, because you punted by not dazing.
It was a very light punt, but after that,
I cleared back up.
When you top-decked the Stoneforge to block the Lily, or to be able to block against my True Name, which would have killed you.
Oh, I can't block True Name. I was able to block the Quazali.
Oh, yeah, block the Quazali. That would have killed you. Was when... William got lucky there. So the moment you were able to land the Stoneforge and the Lily that turn was when you won. We did have a Lily pile, but it wasn't that ecstatic.
No, it was Tundra Tropical and sort of Feast of Famine.
It was sort of Feast of Famine.
And I put Trop and Feast of Famine and Tundra.
Yep.
And you took the Sword Trop.
No, I left the sword away. No, it was Jit.
Jit and Trop.
And Trop, because I removed Jit and Trop.
That's right.
I kept the Tundras, yeah. Because if I did find a Stoneforge Mystic, I would need to cast it soon.
That's what I was hoping to do, is take you off the white and let you top deck a Tundra.
Well, the worst part was that I proceeded to draw 2 daisies for the turns. I was like, no!
Kicking the balls.
So, yeah. Then you have to play Stan with Painter. And recent update, I am now trying Hope of Gearpore and Painter. For those people that don't know what this card does, it is from Aether Revolt. 1 mana for a 1/1 flying Thopter.
But in addition, you may sacrifice it, and target player that was dealt damage by Hope Gear Pour this turn cannot cast cast non-creature spells until your next turn.
Which is very catching, because I thought it was just until end of turn.
No. Because, I mean, obviously I was able to swing with the Hope of Gear Pour on turn 2, and then main phase 2 a Blood Moon down without having to be able to be counterspelled.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, versus Shardless was able to... No, it wasn't versus Shardless at that point.
That was against Storm.
No, it wasn't against Storm. It was against, I think we were... It was, Bug Delver? Yeah, I believe it was Bug Delver he was on.
You don't have Bug Delver proxied up. You have Shardless.
No, we have Bug Delver and Prowess Delver.
No, you have Rook.
Okay, sorry. Bug Delver. That's a good point. I got mixed up with the two Bs. Either way, yeah, we have our Deller build up. He was on Rug. Okay. And to have the Blood Moon locked down without any counterspells was extremely strong.
Yeah.
Let alone the fact that when he goes to Brainstorm, I go, no, you can't Brainstorm. What do you mean? Hope of Gear Force says you can't cast spells. Can't
that
cast
was on creature. No, that was on when he was on Shardless.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. That is... It is really... It's considerably really strong. I mean... Obviously, you can Brainstorm on my turn when Hope of Gear Pour hasn't activated, but on the sense of, like, versus Mud.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, like, it will get there when it gets there. I mean, of course, I'm still learning what card where it's good against. Like, I want it... The big reason why I'm trying it out is versus Storm to be able to wheel through Hope of Gear Pours to keep Storm off of comboing off so that way I have extra turns.
I mean, it's also, I think it would be good against Miracles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Holy crap. Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing is the big thing is it sounds the same as Xanthid Swarm. And actually, I'm going to look up Xanthid Swarm. Does it say just until end of turn?
Xanthid Swarm is just until end of turn.
Yeah, I believe Xanthid Swarm is just until end, which is not a complete lockout. So, I mean, obviously... Well,
the whole point of Xanthid Swarm is just to secure the
second main phase.
Well, you also don't have to deal combat damage.
Yeah, it's
you
just have to attack. Swing. And it's just about clearing the way for the second main phase.
Yeah. So that's where it's, like, weird if you want to play it... If it should be... Hope of Gear Pour should be played over Xanthid Swarm. I mean, it could depend on your meta, actually.
I mean, I think it's almost as good as Xanthid Swarm for Storm, because you don't have to have the green for it and get the
tropical. Well, yeah, you can end up going...
Bayou.
You can go... You can
stay fetch, on color.
For yeah, you can fetch for Underground Sea and then put down Hope of Gear Pour and... There you go. So, I mean, then again, I'm playing it in Painter, it's an artifact, so... Yeah,
you can swap in and out of it.
It's also a one mana welder target if I need them to be used as just a welder target.
True.
No, True Name Nemesis is in Bat Name, Deathblade.
Yes.
No, that was a joke, you're like, true? That's a joke.
Oh, my God. I should kick you out right now and just go...
Tap of this person's tap of the person's window next to us and be like,
can I get a ride?
So
you going to Wisconsin?
Going north.
Yeah, they should be right over in here when Extreme moves.
Oh really?
Yeah, it'll be right up in here.
Oh wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say about 10 minutes closer. We won't get Antioch pizza anymore.
I mean,
unless we go out of the way.
There was very rare occurrences where that became relevant to go all the way down there. Like, I mean, we'll miss Chopsticks and the subway being right next door.
Yeah. But we get closer to Culver's.
Closer to Culver's.
And there's a bar across the street.
Even better!
All right, 11:30, close it down, let's go! Last one there buys the first round.
Shit. Yeah, Fat Man want beer.
I'll just look and be like, everyone, mess with your chairs. Make Dean and Corey the last.
And...
God, I can't believe I got that lucky... That fucking pack.
Oh, yeah. Bob ended up finally going well.
Well, no. I gamble each week on Japanese Eternal Masters.
Yep. How much per week?
$20 a pack, and I try and only buy...
two packs a week. Well,
but average on in just though, you sometimes buy up to five.
No, four. Usually I buy in groups of two.
Yeah.
Well, I bought two and I forgot what I got.
Junk.
No, a Necropotence non-foil and a Karmic Guide.
Oh.
Nothing good. I mean, still playable stuff.
I want the Necropotence for my Nekusar.
Okay. I mean, I think I have three of them.
Yeah, I've been looking for one.
But it's like, well, on the way out, we cut out a little early. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Give me two more packs, Corey. If I get something bad, give me a free pack of Kaladesh the Revolt. Whatever. I can usually get it out of Corey if I have garbage. So, first pack, I got Devoid, I think it was. It's like red, black, three, deal three damage, destroy an artifact, and a player discards a card or something. It's really bad. Corey, before I had actually cracked any of the packs, looked at the second one and said, there's something good here, crack it last.
I just forgot I had this.
So, flipped the foil, and it was something garbage. Flip the rare, and it's a non-foil Jace, the Mind Sculptor. Pretty good, I'll take it. Considering last time, I got garbage out of the two packs that Corey picked, and I ended up getting either Revolt with a Walking Ballista in it.
Well, the Rockstar's Blackout tastes exactly like if you took Smarties on top of Smarties on top of Smarties.
I can smell it.
Gummy bears.
I can smell that. Oh,
that
my
is,
God.
It is strong.
Oh, wow. That is disgusting smell.
It's like a stronger gummy bear flavor than, well, stronger Smarties flavor than Red Bull.
You ever want to get a good prank on your coworkers?
What?
Go and get the sugar-free gummy bears off of Amazon.
That is funny.
Do you know what happens when somebody has too many sugar-free gummy bears?
Oh, that is funny.
I just asked you a question. Do you know?
I'm assuming they require the toilet.
They can get it so bad, they will be peeing out of their butthole.
Oh, God. You're a menace. I don't think we can release that on the cast. But we will!
I mean, you are planning on leaving, so it's on your last day. If it's a goodbye gift, I won't say anything.
That's the best part is my buddy. He's on his diet, so he won't even eat him, but then the only other people
he'll be a witness.
He'll be the only one to witness it all. Oh, that's lovely.
Oof.
Wow, you're a menace.
I told my wife I wanted to get the 5-pound gummy bear for Fiona.
Okay.
As a birthday gift or something, just to let her gorge on it and never want another gummy bear. She's like, no, you'll ruin her childhood.
Yep, and as well, you have to worry about her getting stuck to the walls.
I remember doing that in high school. They used to have packs of gummy bears.
Yeah.
And you could lick the back, get it just about dry, and then flick it and stick it to stuff. Did it in orchestra one day, my freshman year, like a month after school started. It was still there when I graduated.
Oh, yeah.
I went back before they remodeled the music department, and they had scraped it off, but there was a green stain around where it was on the ceiling.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was dying of laughter when I saw that. It's like, oh, my God, that's perfect.
I know one of the funny things that I did in high school was I took paper clips, cracked them in half, and then bent them just right to be like paper clip wasps with a rubber band.
Oh yeah, shooting them.
Well, if they were bent just right, would make a sound as they flew. So obviously that's like one thing, but as well, I was sitting in a math class with a substitute teacher. Well, a substitute teacher that I did not like, and actually, junior year, I even told her I didn't like her. But we're sitting there, and I'm messing with the rubber band and my paper clips, and someone's like, just do it.
Oh, God.
Under my desk, I flicked it and hit the not the sub, No, these things hurt. That would have been, like, detention for, like, a year almost if it hit someone. But I ended up hitting the whiteboard, and it left a dent.
Wow!
And it was loud, because obviously the sub was like, "What was that?" And the buddy next to me is, like, laughing their ass off. I'm quickly after I shot it, I slid it right on my slid my rubber band back on my wrist, just so that way they didn't notice. Yeah, it was just out of nowhere. It was just boom. Yeah, a quick panic from almost everyone that didn't know what was going on, because obviously there was a couple other people that noticed what I was doing.
God, I hate that school. What it is, even 16 years later, I just go in there and just hate the place.
You also didn't have the best of memories there.
I mean, don't get me wrong, yeah, I was the loner who got picked on by everybody, but I don't hold a grudge against anybody there. They were all kids.
Yeah.
But just walking in and seeing what it's become, yeah, I know. A lot of the teachers are still there. Most of the bad ones are already gone. I still just... God, that school. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah. For people that are still listening right now, I don't think we have any more magic news. Like, if you're still listening right now, you're just enjoying the fact that it's still on. And or haven't been able to get up to change it. Or be able to look at your phone and change it either.
I apologize. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. I don't particularly care. I mean, at the same time, we're...
most people, I mean, if anybody is actually listening to our cast, they know by now it's the after-hours show.
Yeah. Quote, unquote. And surprisingly enough, for the on the way there, we actually talk magic.
Most of the time, too.
I think we should do more deck techs.
I mean, pick a deck. We'll discuss it next week. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, might as well. I do another archetype. So the weird thing was with one, the one today on being a Blades, I've only played Vant Deathblade and maybe one time played your Deathblade.
I don't think you have played my Esper Deathblade.
I played it once when you had both built and you wanted. That's when you had right. Both Miracles and Deathblade built,
I've
played
never
it.
Had both built. I don't have enough Tundras.
Oh. I thought you were able to at one
no,
point.
No, I could have Deathblade and Loam.
Oh.
That might have been what it was.
No, I think I used it against... Either way, I did play it, like, once. And I know, obviously, too, I think back when I built Painter, you were on Deathblade. And I know we swapped
yeah,
a couple times.
That's probably when it was.
So, like, my knowledge of Blade decks is very low. But I do know how resilient and... toolboxy those decks are.
I mean, as I say, they're the jack of all trades and the master of none.
That is one thing, is Legacy of Lures has not covered Stoneblade yet.
No, he actually took a break for a while because he's
yeah.
getting ready to get married.
Just recently he put up Belcher.
Yeah. Kind of funny, but I wanted to link Steven to it. Be like, here you go, Steven, have something to listen to.
Well, that's the other thing. Is like any person that wants to get a Legacy, if listen to deck techs, listen to brews. Obviously, you're getting into it. You want to listen to people that have played the deck for a lot longer, and they'll explain like a couple things you can be doing.
I mean, what I wish you could do is download the Twitch videos and just be able to watch or listen to them, but you can't do that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, the interaction between Painter and Forsalo. That was funny listening to the...
Wait, have a judge stop the game?
Well, okay, it was funny to have a judge stop the game when I was playing against Shardless at some... It was Star City
SCG
Open.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was SCG Milwaukee. And a guy force pitching Tropical Island, and a judge heard this and turned and was like... Wait, what? I'm like, there's a Painter on the field. He's like, oh. Yeah, and it was, so that was like one thing. But all alone, I was when I listened to the Community Legacy League
yeah.
podcast, they had mentioned how they finally had their Painter player. No one knew about that. They had mentioned that they screwed that up a couple times because they forgot that Painter makes everything blue.
In addition, yep.
Yep.
I mean, we misplayed Painter, too. We thought it just turned everything that color so you couldn't green sun Zenith.
Yeah, but then we remembered it's in addition.
Yeah.
Whoops. Sorry, Marshall.
He's a good sport about it.
I mean, he was a good sport when I was a complete asshole about it.
No, you weren't cool about it. You were just trying to... You playing the card the way you thought it was. That's all. Well, yeah, it's only going to take us, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It will actually take us 20 minutes to get down there.
No worries. We're stopping at your place first.
Do you want to risk their third-party controllers, or do you want a standard controller?
I mean, if the third-party controllers work...
They say they do?
Efficiently.
I think I'm going to stop and get my controller.
Okay.
And I'll probably just grab my other gray controller.
Might as well grab Perfect Dark just in case.
Yeah, I mean, he has Goldeneye over there, too.
Oh. Well, I'll just leave the Goldeneye, then.
Because, yeah, you don't want me playing on my Perfect Dark profile.
Yeah. But...
Oh, we could do four-person pod racer.
Oh, yeah.
Also get to meet Brad.
Hmm?
Well, another guy who lives in our neighborhood. Okay. We went down to his bonfire that one time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and okay. I knew Brad. I know, actually happened to know Brad through family. Yeah. Well, connections of family.
Yeah.
People I called family. That makes sense.
Quote unquote adopted family.
Yeah.
I kind of feel sorry for Brad.
Why?
Just had son is gonna be one in June or July.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend just left him. Yeah. Looked at him and said, I don't think I've loved you for the past 2 years. Out the door she went.
That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. I still want Brand's dog. I want Cleo. English Bulldog Pit Mix. Body of the Bulldog, face of the pit. It's so ugly, it's cute. She thinks she's vicious.
Oh. Can I build a brew around Gonti? I mean, he's 4 mana, so it's like, it's weird, but at the same time, with, on how I'm using him in Standard, I think he'll be just as strong in Legacy.
That's the one that when he does damage?
No, whenever he enters the battlefield, exile top 4, you may cast it for any mana cost. You may exile top 4, and then choose one of them, and you may cast it for any color.
Oh, spending mana.
As if there was any color, yeah. So you steal a lot of your opponent's spells.
Yeah...
And it would be kind of funny to be playing Miracles against Miracles on Black-White.
I'm going to need Cavern of Souls or something like that, then.
Oh, yeah, I know. No. Cavern of Souls, Krokus, because he's legendary. He can do it multiple times.
I was just going to say, you use Krokus on it to bounce him.
Yeah.
Because he's, what, a 2-2 flyer?
He's a 2-3 Death Touch on the ground.
Death Touch on the ground. So, yeah, he's not that.
Unfortunately, he's 4 mana. But at the same time, stealing your opponent's cards could be relevant.
I mean, it seems cute. But more than likely, I think he's just going to be like, oh, Swords to Plowshares on him.
Nah. You can still cast a spell.
Yeah, you still get a spell. 4 mana for a spell. I'd rather just play 4 mana for Jace anyway.
But what if you got Jace?
I mean, against Miracles, they're just going to use a red elemental Pyroblast on him.
Well, I mean, versus any other deck, too.
No, Esper definitely doesn't have it.
But then again, Gonti's a 4-drop. He's not going to be the main goal of the deck. He's just in the deck.
Yeah. He's a bad card. He's only good in Kaladesh Limited because there's such shitty removal.
Actually, there's a lot of good removal in the format right now.
Well, yeah, with... either Revolt out, but when it was just Kaladesh, It was garbage removal. It was all artifact removal. Kind of glad we didn't go to Nerd Rage. Wouldn't be able to Mario Kart.
This is true.
Go. If there's 8 people, you get your promos, and as soon as you lose, you leave. As soon as you're out of the running for the box, just take your promos and go.
I wasn't even just trying to spike for the box. Be like, alright, we're not splitting this shit.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Because it is, I mean, like, yes, Lake Geneva as a store is pretty horrible, but the community is not too uncommon to split boxes.
I don't know. Nobody wants to risk it all and not get anything. Yeah. They just want everybody to get a participation trophy. And that's why Jason and Mark put the rule in effect. Top 2, there must be a winner.
Yeah. So no, I thought I'd go in. Does that mean ultimately I do want to get the promo Yanny's expertise? That's kind of why I want to go. Let alone the fact that I'll probably top slots.
Well, there'll probably be 8 people. 3 will show up with serious decks, and 5 will be people that have bought starter decks that Mark has said, oh, come on in, you'll get promos.
Yeah, and Monday there was someone with red light vehicles. Red white vehicles, yeah. You know, unfortunately, up until the point, like, my deck, I was explaining to you how I can Felidar Guardian, and Panoramica.
Yeah.
To any infinite whatever I want. It has been doing that a lot. And then the moment we started playing an actual tournament, it stopped wanting to do that.
You broke your deck before the event actually happened.
Yeah. Because it is kind of crazy to go, Panoramica, pass the turn, come back, Gonti, trigger.
Ugh.
Oh, wait. All right. Two Panoramicons. Yeah. Gonti. Trigger. Did it to Grant. He did not like it very much.
Ooh, that must have made him mad.
Yeah, and the worst part is when you get that and then you go, Gonti. Trigger. Next turn, Felidar Guardian. Trigger.
Flicker Gonti.
Trigger. Yeah. Felidar Guardian. I mean, if they're gonna ban one card from the set in the 5-week ban, it should be Felidar Guardian.
They finally admitted to making a mistake and not saying another creature. So.
Well, they openly admitted that they didn't catch the combo between Sahili Ryan.
And I don't know how that didn't happen.
I don't know how it happened either. The FFL League just should not have
every one of missed them that. Should be fired for missing that.
Yeah, that is a horrible miss. But if they don't ban it, and they ban Saheeli...
See, I don't think they'll ban Saheeli. They'll ban Guardian or Panharmonicon.
Well, Panharmonicon and Felidar Guardian? Pan is actually not as big as it is. Actually, it's like only a $2 card right now.
Yeah, they don't look at price. They look at what's causing the problem, Max. And more than likely, it's going to be Felidar.
Well, yeah, it will probably be Felidar. And if they ban that, I'm going to be so excited. Well, I'm going to be kind of annoyed, but at the same time, it's just like, all right, I'll just return my deck to what it was. Somebody drained a Liminarian Valkyr swinging for like 20 damage on turn 4.
Somebody posted on Reddit about modern copycat, quote unquote. Like, yeah, its original name is Splinter Twin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in a way, I think like its modern showing could actually work.
No.
But at the same time, there's a lot of work in there if they're trying to put that thing in modern. It works in standard because there's not enough removal, but it also doesn't work in standard because there's not enough cantrips.
I mean, there's no good cantrips in modern either.
There's more efficient than the ones that we have in standard right now.
Yeah, but none of them are good.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to ban something, they got to ban Felder. That's one thing I forgot to check. See if Extreme had any Aether Harvesters.
They were in the case.
I need those for my Cyber versus vehicles.
Looks like you have to get ripped off by LG.
If LG even had them.
I'm sure they do.
They don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they
do. I mean, you could always run over to Heroes Inc. See if they have them tomorrow.
I'm not too worried about actually having it. I mean, I already play a 4-0 Fragmentized in the sideboard, which is just one mana destroy target thing for destroy target artifact or enchantment 4 or less. It's in speed.
Yeah, I can't remember the black red one for 3.
Yeah, I don't have any red in my deck, unfortunately.
I know.
It's just a black white deck. Which I recently splashed for green for Clipped Right because I played the Angel of Jubilation. Not the Angel of Jubilation, Angel of Invention.
Angel of Invention, that makes the 1/1.
It's a 5 mana 2/1, all other creatures get +1/+1, but fabricate 2.
Okay, yeah.
Flying Vigilance Lifelink.
Yep.
That plus the Panarmonicon is strong as well.
Four Thopters out.
Actually, probably even worse. It's Angel of Invention. We'll put out 8. No, 6.
Oh, you get to put out 3? It's Fabricate 3?
It's Fabricate 2. But with 2 Panarmonicons, it's 6. Yeah. And it's not uncommon.
Living
to have
in
2.
Magic Christmas Land there, Steven.
Actually, it's not Magic Christmas Land. It happens kind of commonly. My battery is low. Yay! At least Roman's almost recording.
Yeah.
But. And the worst part is when you go to the turn after that, Felder Guardian Flicker Lane, Angel of Invention. Or 2 Angel of Inventions and have 3/3 Servos. It's like really weird when I go to ask my opponent on turn 5, what's your life total? They go, 5. I'm like, oh.
What's the CMT?
4, but I also have Relentless Dead swinging at him quite often.
Magic Christmas Day. Magic Christmas
Day. It's not uncommon for them on turn 5 to go, that went 9 life, dude. Yeah, it's really weird to have a control deck that usually hits it for as much as it does in turn.
Freezing.
Really? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Get a wind chill and it will freeze. Bae.
So we ended up leaving FNM early to go play Mario Kart 64.
Well, I mean, is it a bad thing?
And he also, I think he has Smash Brothers too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well set on retro games for 64.
I mean, again, I still have to talk to my Uncle about getting Party.
Oh my god, if you get Mario Party, that's all we play.
Yeah.
I think we played my buddy when I was talking with Ian the first year I was dating Alicia. We went to his place for New Year's, got drunk on his mom's port that she was making, and I think we played like a 70 turn Mario Party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I had 55 stars.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, it does depend on which map you play on. Oh, and also, our Mario Party has everything unlocked.
Okay.
That's another thing I did the year before they broke the 64, was I unlocked everything.
It was my first time playing, and I just freaking dominated them. Never won like that since.
No, it was kind of more like the thing when we were kids. Like, alright, all the kids are in playing 64, Mario 64, Party 64, and we would set it for like 50 turns, but we'd only get like 20 in before we had to go eat, and yep. Then we'd go.
Shut it off.
Yep.
No, we were...
We never ever completed a game.
I'm pretty sure we completed that game.
So, I mean, like, legitimately, I didn't know about Hidden Stars until I was 15. Did not know that game had Hidden Stars in it at all.
I do not either until now.
Really?
No.
the hidden stars at the end of the game, which, like, most question marks, most red blacks, most steps, most mini games.
Okay.
Those ones.
Oh, the end rewards.
Yeah. Oh. Might as well toss my magic stuff in my car.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my idea.
Alright. Well, see y'all.